Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin, and it's another week, therefore it's another episode. And today's episode, I sit down with Netsky, and we talk about all the usual stuff, and it's wonderful, and you're in for a treat. And before we get into the conversation, just a few quick thank yous. I'd like to thank Scroobius Pip and my brothers and sisters at the Distraction Pieces Network. I'd like to thank 76 for producing this podcast. And he's doing well. He's doing well, he's 76, because obviously, as I've mentioned it on a few of these episodes, and you may have caught them chats, but in lockdown, obviously, most of these recordings are taking place remotely, which sometimes means, like today's chat, Netsky's in Belgium. And so we carried this conversation out over Zoom, and so you know, you don't always get these pristine, warm sounding studio recorded podcasts anymore, you know. But I've been really blessed that 76 has done some great work to ensure that these chats sound really, really nice and clear and warm, and there's no sort of staggered sounds, or there's no sort of dragging of audio. It's all very nice and concise. So thanks, 76, for doing that. And also, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you get to the end of this episode, go and have a look in the archives, because we mention Norman Cook or Fatboy Slim, and I've recently sat down with Norman on this podcast, and we talk about the Prodigy, and I've sat and chatted at length with the manager of the Prodigy, and Nick, and the work that he's done as an artist. And so there's, yeah, all manner of amazing chats to be had there, from people as diverse as Fatboy Slim to Butch Vig to, you know, actress Maxine Peake, through to, oh gosh, who have we had on recently? Chic, Madness, Idols, Sleaford Mods. There's a vast array of chats to be enjoyed. So go and have a rummage in the archives when you finish this chat. And also, if you want to get behind the podcast a little bit more, there is a Patreon page. And each week I upload 4 radio shows and exclusive episodes and video episodes and stuff over there. And I think you can support that for, like, I think it works out about 90p a week. And you get a load of extra content, and it really does help support the podcast. So if you enjoy this podcast and you'd like to kind of get behind it a little bit, then you can do it over on patreon.com/offthebeatandtrackpodcast. Okay, I think we can just get back on with business. Please enjoy it. My wonderful chat with drum and bass legend, Netsky.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Right, we are recording, and joining me today is Netsky. Hello.
Hey.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Antwerp, in Belgium.
Has lockdown in Belgium?
Yeah, it started again.
oh, really? You're the same as us?
Yeah, we are. I think we started official lockdown a week ago now, so just before you guys started, I guess.
We're recording this just for those listening. We're recording this on the day that we've gone back into full lockdown in the UK. Before we start talking records, Boris, I just want to know how you found this year, both personally and professionally.
Yeah, it's just been quite a boring year, I think, for DJs. If anything, I mean, I'm lucky to be surrounded by amazing people where I live in Belgium. I've got my mom lives really close to me. I've got really great friends here, and you know, like it's been nice on certain occasions to be able to spend some time, more time with them this year. So I definitely don't look back at this year as just pure negativity, and this is like personally, obviously, because professionally it's been tough for everybody in entertainment, I think, this year, all over the world. But yeah, no, I've got a very, very nice kind of background, and more than anything, I feel that this year that I just have to appreciate that, and that I'm very lucky with that.
So have you managed to sort of DJ at all, like, you know, even in like sort of socially distanced venues or anything this year?
No, I haven't done any socially distanced events. I did lots of live streams, including one that Tomorrowland did here in Belgium, which was really, like, really cool. Just, like, Hollywood-grade Green Key Studios with, like, amazing, like, virtual and visual effects. That was really cool. And I'm a big tech head, so, like, it's been really fun to, like, try and start building a studio for your own and, like, learning about all these cameras and about streaming. So that was fun.
Wonderful. Okay, well, let's start talking records. And for track one, I'm going to ask you the song that you think has got the greatest ever intro.
Yeah, I've chosen a song, and I'm kind of glad I only got these questions like 20 minutes before we started talking, because it really pushes you to like think about it straight on the minute. It's a song that isn't that very old. It's by Totally Enormous, the Extinct Dinosaurs, and it's called Don't You Forget About Me.
What a great record.
Right, and it's not really just an intro, but it's the whole build to that, like that explosion. It's incredible. There's this moment where like the guitar kicks in the intro, and there's a chord change or like a key change in the background, and it just hits me every time. It's like the most beautiful like build up ever, I think.
So I'm always interested when I speak to you know, DJs and producers when they're putting together music, like how they approach the intro, because lots of musicians in the current climate, you know, especially in more kind of mainstream sort of pop music now, it's a case of like hit them straight away with a chorus and grab them. But I guess if your mindset is entrenched in DJ culture, does that affect how you approach an intro when you're producing music?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's so important to like you said, to like to tell if we're talking about pop music or talking about trying to grab people's attention as quick as possible, because there is formulas, like you said, with pop, where producers try and find the most the kind of recognizable hook and put on the first 8 bars before the first verse even starts. Yeah. So like the intro is a chorus in a way, which is just a way to like try and like grab people's attention as quick as possible. It's probably not even called an intro, I guess, if you do that. But there's like music that's focused for DJs where still and since probably not as important as it used to be, because people don't beat match the same way or don't need like a very, very simple 4x4 kick to just mix in. Yeah, it's always been very important to just have the rhythm section from the beginning, so you could kind of mix in with a lot of electronic music, I guess. I personally like I never really to the annoyance of a lot of DJs, I'm sure, and probably not very good for my own to get DJs to play my music. But I never really put beats or rhythm in my intros, because it just I'd like to find that way in between. An electronic record, kind of a radio record sometimes as well, and just a song, where I find it for most songs more important to start with a melody and building up that before you go full into a beat.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay. For track two, the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you?
Yeah, there's so many that come to mind, but and I'm sure this is not the right answer, like, or the most honest answer, because I'm sure I heard music that my dad played to me before I was buying records and looking for music that I can't think of right now. But I've chosen Everything in Its Right Place by Radiohead, which is, such a weird song as a kid, or like, I think I must have been 14 or 15 when I heard it the first time. And it was such a weird song to put my head around, because the lyrics, I mean, I think the lyric that I remember most is, yesterday I woke up sucking a lemon.
Yeah.
Which is, it's so weird and so magical. It's I love it. I love obscure lyrics. I mean, it's not obscure, but it's very weird. And I love that. The melody is just, yeah.
I mean, Radiohead's very intense music for a 14-year-old lad to be listening to, isn't it? That's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So aside from that, like growing up, what kind of music was you getting exposed to at home? Was there records on at home?
Yeah, all the time. My dad was really into soul and jazz and funk. Like a lot of Motown. My mom loved Motown as well, so like that was on quite a lot. But just lots of like jazz, just trumpets constantly. Like echoing through the house, which I loved. Miles Davis in the morning, Louis Armstrong. But lots of Motown, lots of just like really nice, feel good, warm music. That's how I remember it.
Lovely, lovely. And where was that? Where was growing up?
In a beautiful town called Edigem, which is a town that was never meant to be translated into English, I'm sure. But it's a tiny little town, about 20 minutes from Antwerp, where I live now. So very close to home.
How was it growing up there?
It was good. It was really good. It was kind of like a middle class kind of region. Lots of houses, no apartment buildings, a big nice park. I played with my friends in the park all the time. My school was a 50 minutes bike ride from home, so very homey, very European. It's nice.
Okay, well, you touched on school then. So for track three, I'm going to ask you the song that reminds you of your time at school.
Yeah. It's hard because Fatboy Slim and The Prodigy were like a big part of my youth in school. And whenever we went on school trips, I remember, was it Fat of the Land? Or, definitely You've Come a Long Way. I've written that down by Fatboy Slim. Obviously, the album with all the hits. And I remember all the kids at school were just like obsessed with that record. But The Prodigy, Breathe as well, that was, my jam for sure.
Right. I mean, both of them records, The Prodigy are from where I'm from, they're from like the county where I live, and seeing The Prodigy do a homecoming show at the V Festival in 97, I believe, on the strength of Fat of the Land being this global hit of an album, like seeing them come back to Essex and play was unbelievable. It was like, it was something very, very special. And bizarrely, I was very lucky. I got to sit down with Norman Cook on this podcast last week.
And, oh, wow.
And spoke to Fatboy Slim, and it was that was an interesting chat. It really was. So being at school, like, did you know what you wanted to be at school?
Not at all. No. I was for my whole high school time. I was definitely into like media. I was into technology a lot. Still am. And I was making music on the site, and for me, DJing and making music was just something on the site for a long while. But then once I got, like, just before I went to uni, I started working on my first album. I think that just got like picked up by a record label in London, by Hospital Records. And, that was a time where I started taking it a little bit more serious and spent way more time on music than I did on uni. And, I think 40% of the tracks I made in an aula for like during university with my headphones on all the way in the back. So I made my choice and I really wanted to give it a go. And I was obsessed with just like making music, sampling, and just, yeah, putting it out on MySpace, getting reactions on forums. And that was my life already. And I was very lucky that my parents kind of, yeah, gave me the chance to try and prove myself and to try and make a living out of it, you know, because that was one of the first things they thought about, not just me expressing myself or like, because they liked that part, but they wanted to see there was a potential future in it for me. So I'm very glad they gave me that chance.
Obviously you've just said there that your parents supported your creativity at school. Was that creativity supported at school as well? Was music something that was, you know, available at school? Could you study music at school, and was it encouraged?
No, unfortunately not. I mean, it's because I wasn't at the right school. If I wanted to go for music, obviously that's great support for musicians in Belgium in schools. But I wasn't at the right school for that. I think the last 2 years I was studying digital media, which was more about even web design and God, it's like a chapter of my life that I can't tell much about because I forgot a lot about it, probably for good reason. No, it wasn't really supported at school for me personally. No.
Did you enjoy school?
I didn't actually. No. I can't say that. I've had good teachers and I've had really great moments that definitely meant something for me and that I remember and I made good friends at school. But I was just it's so cheesy to say, but I feel like I was too rebellious and I was obviously doing my own thing on the side, and that just overtook everything. So I don't really look back at it as a big important part of my life. That's cool for me.
So talking about the Prodigy and Fatboy Slim and such, was that something when you'd hear them records at a young age, would you already start to sort of deconstruct them and try and work out how they were put together?
Yeah, I was definitely into the technical side of making music when I started listening to music carefully, for sure. And I started playing the drums when I was 6 or 7. I got like my first drum kit when I was 8, so I was playing. You hear this from a lot of drummers, but I was playing on a lot of furniture at home, and I broke a lot of couches, and anything that had the shape of a cymbal had to unfortunately go. The first things I always tried to like do when I loved the song and when I was listening to it 20 times a day was just to try and drum along and try and recreate the beats, record that on tape. And then a bit further down the line when I started using computers, I tried to sample a lot of like instruments and songs and tried to rebuild synths. And it was nice to discover music like that.
Track 4, the first song you remember buying from a record store.
because there was so much music at home, I wasn't buying a lot of music apart from horrible pop songs that I definitely don't want to mention as a kid.
Come on, man. This is the one where you leave your cool at the door. This is the one where you have to kind of put it out there.
I mean, and I promise you I'm not lying, but I can't even remember anything that it's like remotely... I don't have an issue with awkward choices and awkward answers, but the one song that I remember buying and the record that I remember buying was just because I just got into DJing and I got my first record player, and it was Incident by Joris Voorn, which is kind of like it's a techno song, but very, very melodic. There's this amazing piano step, piano melody in the breakdown that I loved. Yeah, that was the beginning of me trying to play records at home, which is cool.
And as you got more into electronic music, and how important did record shops become for you?
I think at first, before I was like listening to drum and bass, and before that was my thing. I loved record stores. I loved going to my local record store in Antwerp on Friday morning when all the white labels and all the new records came in. And I made a couple of friends there, but it was, for me, it's always been a very kind of solitude kind of thing, like just me going to the store and listening to records for hours and hours on my own. It wasn't a very social kind of happening like it is for many other DJs in London, for example, like where I can really feel like it's been almost a backbone of many scenes in the UK, just coming together, making friends, and you start a label with the three mates you grew up with in the record store, which is beautiful. I mean, that's one thing that I guess Antwerp might be a little bit too small for that, or I was into weird music maybe that wasn't very popular in my kind of in the group of people around me. It was very, I loved it. Record stores were important to me, for sure.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, track 5. The song that soundtracked your years clubbing. I mean, that's not stopped yet, right?
It will start again, I'm sure. Just going out and like, for me, it wasn't really clubbing. I was going to like drum and bass raves, underground venues, low ceiling venues, not what people like call clubbing, I guess. For me, it was a High Contrast. High Society was a record that was, I was obsessed with that record. And I guess it wasn't dancing. I was like the one kid at the back of the club listening to it and through the years making more friends and going moving more to the front and to the front. But I was just watching the DJ doing what he did, and it was amazing.
How did you find that journey of trying to sort of break through as a DJ? You know, how did that work for you?
I guess like I grew up, or like I was making music, and I first started putting my music out in the age of MySpace, where that little MySpace terrible flash music player on the right corner of your profile was everything. And the play count on that was where most labels were like looking at before signing a new act. The internet and just like online communities were like a big part of my success and the way I got picked up as a beginning producer, because I didn't have a community around me in Edigem or in Belgium that was ready to like meet me and release records with me. I had to do it over the internet, which was nice. It was great.
Okay. Track 6, favorite song from an artist from your home county.
I read Country. Okay,
that's all right. So you won't be the first, Boris.
Oh, I see. Okay. I can change it to Country, actually. What's that song called? Have you heard of Tom Bergman?
What's that?
Have you heard of Deus?
Suds and Soda. Oh.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. The lead singer of Deus is called Tom Bergman, and he used to have this like side project called Magnus. It was with CJ Boland. So like Tom Berman and CJ Boland. So Davis and CJ Boland. And they had this song. I'm going to have to Google it because I forgot. It was in a movie called Anywhere the Wind Blows. That's what I remember. But Magnus, yeah, it's an act. And it was kind of like an electronic side project of CJ Boland and Tom Berman. And they're both from Antwerp. They're brilliant. They were absolutely smashing it.
I saw Deus quite early on. In the UK, and that was a absolute assault on the ears. Deus Live, it was incredible, absolutely incredible. Right. I've got this white label album by them, which I don't think ever got a general release. I might be wrong, but the producer, one of the guys from Sabres of Paradise, Jags Cooner, he reworked a Deus album, and literally just put all these really sort of dark beats, and it's almost like it's very Weatherall, and it must have come out around the kind of around 96 97, and it's amazing. And I've never met anyone else that's heard that album, and you can barely find any of it on YouTube or anything. And it was because Deus are still a huge band in Europe, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And it was just amazing, this record, and no one seems to have heard it. And yeah, I did not know he had a side project, especially with CJ Boland as well.
Right, right. Oh man, I have to check out this. I have to check out what you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
So who was it I reworked it?
Jags Cooner.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, definitely going to check that out.
It's really good. Really good.
Cool.
Okay, so last track, and this is when you get to play DJ, which is what you do best. A song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
So I've got a big love for New Zealand as a country.
Okay.
I go there every year, and it's kind of not known yet, but I guess it's fine. It's like I'm one of the only acts that can make it to the country this year, which is amazing, because right now there's like literally 2 weeks ago, there was a festival for 20 or 30,000 people because they've got control over COVID so well, and they've kind of managed to to make it corona-free, the whole country, which is amazing. So this would have been the first year where I miss out on playing New Zealand, and I think we're gonna make it, which is amazing. There's a band called Fat Freddy's Drop from New Zealand. They kind of have like a ska, like a soulful ska and reggae sound, but a lot of their songs are just like soulful, beautiful music with Joe, the singer's voice, who's just got a really nice, warm, soulful voice. And the song I like of Fat Freddy's Drop most is Flashback. Definitely go check it out. And there's a really cool Jazz and Over remix too that I used to play in DJ sets a lot. I love that one.
Wonderful. Well, Boris, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast. So all the records that we spoke about, we'll put together a playlist to accompany this chat. And staying positive and looking towards, you know, the tail end of this year and the new year, what are you looking forward to most when we find ourselves coming out of this situation personally and professionally?
And I think I can merge that answer into one, because I think personally and professionally I just miss live music and events. I miss being able to listen to music and falling in love with it in a crowd rather than on headphones and sharing that feeling. I just miss falling in love in general, you know, like just, and it's just like being outside with a big massive group of people, like getting that extra emotion that you just can't have like alone, just walking around and feeling free again. Because I mean, and I'm one of the lucky people to be living in a country where like they support healthcare so well, and they support the people that live here, like in the UK. We're very lucky that during such a tough year, we're getting support like that, and not just from the government, but from like people around us, and people really seem to care about each other, which is beautiful to see. But I want to see people caring about each other in group and in public again. That's definitely what I miss most, just big groups of people and random conversations.
Oh, you and me both. Boris, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure talking records with you. Thank you.
No, thanks so much for having me, man.
Cheers,
really appreciate
man.
It.
Thank you.
Cheers. Take care.
There you go. Wonderful chat. Yeah, kind of mad hearing about raves happening in New Zealand. How exciting is that? Yeah, really nice chat and just, yeah, lovely, lovely guy. And yeah, can't thank him enough for giving up his time. Big thanks to his management for organising that for me. And yeah, as I said at the beginning, if this is your first time listening, then go and have a rummage in the archives and catch one of them chats with Norman Cook or with Butch Vig or with, oh God, who else have I done? Public Enemies, Chuck D, the Spice Girls, Mel C, all manner of chats to be listened to. There's about 170 of them. So go and have a look and pick a few out and get stuck in. Okay, I'm back next time. In the meantime, stay safe, look after each other, and just generally be excellent to each other. Thanks again. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.